Thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and this will be a fairly short intro for a fairly short episode. I sat down for this week's show with Scott Norton, and one of the reasons why it is going to be a short one is because I'm an idiot. And in the lengthier intro I recorded earlier this afternoon, I got his name wrong like four times. So sorry, Scott, but it is Scott Norton. He is the new GM over at the Prescott Valley Event Center in Prescott Valley, Arizona. I sat down and talked with him along with Leslie Earl Lyman, and the three of us sat during the Voila Tour, the French Immersion Tour, which was the subject of last week's show. And we picked Scott's brain. It was his first week as the GM. We learned a little bit about where he came from and what he has planned to get butts in the seats at the Prescott Valley Event Center. So that is what we're going to talk about today. And if you hear some noise in the background, it is because I am sitting in the lobby at the Renaissance Hotel in Phoenix for the Bird City Comedy Festival. So over the next week or so, you'll be seeing some posts on our social media, pictures that were taken here at the Comedy Festival, some great names rolled into Arizona for this, the second annual Bird City Comedy Festival. Thank you, Genevieve Rice, for letting me be part of this. One of my podcasting heroes was here. I got a chance to meet him last year, spent a little time talking with him in Flagstaff last fall as well, and was finally able to get him to sit down and record a podcast that will post up next week. That's Danny LaBelle. One of the early pioneers of podcasting with his, he's had several, but right now one of his projects is the Modern Day Philosophers, where, you'll listen next week. You'll hear about how that came about. He has been close friends with so many big names in the comedy industry, and we'll talk about that and post that up next week. So again, Scott Norton is this week. Episode 131, and look for links to some of the photographs that myself and Matt Hinshaw were taking at Bird City. Look for those at milehighshow.com as well as msantosphotographer.com. We'll put some up there as well. And this week's show is brought to you by the Big Pine Comedy Festival, which will be taking place this coming September. It's a lot of fun there. We'll have a link for submissions and tickets and all the information right there at milehighshow.com. Again, today's episode brought to you by the Big Pine Comedy Festival that's taking place mid-September 2017. Do yourself a favor and make plans to attend. It is a lot of fun, and I am really looking forward to being there to enjoy the comedy as well as take some photographs and hopefully record a podcast or two. So I think that about wraps. Yeah, I got Scott Norton with his name pronounced correctly. Preview of next week's show with Danny LaBelle. Sponsorship for Big Pine. What else? Oh, Amazon. Use the Amazon link at milehighshow.com for all your online shopping. And it's a way we get a little taste. We get a little bit of kickback from Amazon to help us pay for things like microphones, like Matt's lunch when he comes down to Phoenix to take pictures. Yeah, he does eat a lot. He's sitting right here watching. What are you watching?
Baseball.
It looks like a car commercial.
Oh, it's a commercial right now, yeah.
Oh, Cornish Pasty Company is where we had lunch. Excellent. What'd you have?
Royale with cheese.
The Royale with cheese. You know what that, you know,
you know. Revolted at it, though.
Sam Jackson.
Or Sam Jackson, Royale with cheese.
The Royale with cheese. What it was, The Cornish Pasty Company is basically, it's a big meat pie of whatever you order. It was delicious. I had the roast beef, and it was basically a roast beef dinner in a pie shell, and it was delicious. Check them out. They're a sponsor of
the Royale with cheese. The Royale with cheese was basically a hamburger, french fries, and everything that comes with a fast food meal in one of the pasties.
It was the best Happy Meal you ever had. Did you get a toy?
No, I'm kind of disappointed I didn't get a toy, although that bartender, she... That would have been a good toy.
Yay. Can't take this guy anywhere. Okay, we got way off track. Today, Scott Norton, the new GM with the Prescott Valley Event Center. Next week, highlights from the Bird City Comedy Festival. And make plans to attend the Big Pine Comedy Festival in Flagstaff this coming September. Make plans now. Now. That's Robert Buscemi. His, you know who his aunt is?
No.
Steve Buscemi. He was a... He got to watch it. He did the backyard show last night. We were just talking about you. I said, I do a podcast up north, and I got to record the intro to upload it. And while you were walking by, I said, hey, that's Robert Buscemi. You know who his aunt is? Hey, where can people find you?
People can find me at www.robertbuscemi.com.
You know, I think it's 2017. I think we're to the point we can stop using those WWs. Just a thought. You know, something to work in.
Me.com, and they could put my voice through a video filter, like a Google filter or something, and come up with my identity just from the velvetiness of my voice, right?
Velvety. I like it. Hey, that was a great show last night, man. The backyard show was great. Yeah.
They can see surprisecomedy.com or find us on Facebook, Surprise Comedy. Do shows every month in L.A.
Now, do you always do them with Sophia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those we do, yeah, once a month, 5 years now. And it's great. It's fantastic.
A lot of fun. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Okay, we got sides. Okay, this real short intro is now longer than the episode, I think. Let's just cut to the chase. Scott Norton, GM, Prescott Valley Event Center. Thanks for tuning in. Right to your left is is Leslie Earl Lyman. He's a local musician who plays in and around the Prescott and Verde Valley areas. And he often sits in with me, co-hosts. He's done a couple of hosting gigs on his own for me. The name of the podcast is The Mile High Show. We started a couple of years ago. We're hovering at around, between 25 and 30,000 downloads a month.
Oh, cool.
We come out once a month. Excuse me, once a week. I don't even know. I'm half asleep. And we record on location pretty much all around the Prescott area. We've done some out in the Verde, and then I pop into Phoenix periodically. It's general interview stuff, some artists, some musicians, a lot of comics, some of the business folks around here. Have you gotten to know a lot of the faces down here?
Not quite yet, some of them, but first day was Monday, yeah. So I'll get there.
Ken Byers, who used to do some radio for, what's the talk station down in Phoenix, KTAR?
KTAR, yeah.
Yeah, he used to be down there for a while. Now he's the program and news director up here at KDDL, KPPV, and all that. He's sitting down there somewhere.
Okay.
He's the real old guy. We were talking to him earlier.
All right.
I think
I met him.
Yeah.
I think he came up to
and
me.
And Dave Phone's down there. We got a lot of folks. Marnie Yule does a show over there every week. I was doing it weekly for a while. Now I go in there and do a talk show there once a month.
Okay.
But same kind of stuff, just sitting and talking. Started the podcast more so I can get a little freedom to kind of interview whoever I want.
Okay.
And just to get a good pulse of what's going on around the area. And you, Scott, right?
Yes.
Last
Scott Norton,
name?
Yeah. Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N.
Scott Norton are going to be the pulse of what's going on around here.
I hope.
Because, yeah, this building that we're sitting in, the Prescott Valley Event Center, has been the hub of activity since it opened. What are we at? Eight, 9 years?
I think it's 10? Actually 10 years, yeah.
2006, yeah. So we're working on 11.
Yep.
I think. I was here almost on a daily basis for a while. Photography is my bread and butter. That's my main gig, and I was the team photographer for the Sundogs here, the hockey team, while they were here, and have done a lot of the shows, the concerts and stuff. So this, for a good chunk of years, was my home, And I miss seeing the full stands and the everyday events. So it was really nice to see the Suns come up here, the Northern Arizona Suns.
Yeah, great.
Give us a little bit of your background. Where are you from? What's your family history?
Well, I started out in the business working for the Hartford Civic Center, then the Hartford Whalers NHL hockey team.
Oh, nice.
There. When the team left, I ended up moving to Bakersfield, California, where I ran a 10,000-seat minor league hockey arena there.
Who was playing in Bakersfield?
The Condors. They're
Condors.
Still there.
Are they ECHL? Where
they were. Now they're in the AHL. They're
AHL?
The affiliate of the Edmonton Oilers. So
Bakersfield, the home of Buck Owens.
Home of Buck Owens and Merle, yeah. Yep. So I spent 7 years there. And then for the last 12 years, I was the director of marketing and public relations for University of Phoenix Stadium, where the Cardinals
Oh, nice.
Play. Yep.
Very so. Nice. I was down. What was I doing down there? The Arena Bowl with the Rattlers, and who were they playing? Just last summer.
Yeah, yeah, and they actually played at Gila River Arena because there was a date conflict at Talking Stick Resort Arena,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, that was a sad game. They lost. They didn't
yeah.
win. I was doing a lot of work for them too.
Yep.
So what was hometown for you like? Where are you from originally? Where'd you grow up?
I'm originally from outside of Hartford, Connecticut, yeah. Glastonbury. So grew up, playing hockey. Went to UConn. Like I said, was there until 97, and then I've been out west ever since.
Catfish bend in your ear and all the hockey talk?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I'm a hockey guy. I mean, certainly, you know, if that's something that we can bring back here, we would love to do that.
I would like that. I would like that a lot.
All right. Well, yeah, we're trying. I mean, obviously, we're really focused on the great relationship we have with the Suns right now. But I do know that there's a lot of passionate hockey fans in here.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got some pretty good connections, you know, with the Coyotes and different leagues through our company. With Spectra's a national company actually started by Ed Schneider, who bought the Philadelphia Flyers out of bankruptcy back in 1969. And so a lot of history within our company as it relates to hockey.
What's your game plan without, you know, obviously you've got your things that you can and can't talk about, but your game plan here, what's needed to revitalize the event center here to get more, not just bodies in the seats, but events like this, like the Voila Tour, the French immersion event that we're at tonight. What are some of the things you've got in your toolbox to really revitalize?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, our company, Spectra, we have a national presence. We manage about 140 different venues around the country, which is a combination of stadiums, arenas, and convention centers. So we're piped into the, you know, national promoters. So I think it's really kind of getting us back on the map as it relates to artists and agents in the concert realm. You know, and then see if we can program some additional sporting events, you know, motorsports. But certainly concerts is going to be a focus for us. You know, although it's a tough business, you know, we think that the market could sustain some additional concerts. So it's really going to be a combination of those different areas. And again, you know, community events as well are very important. So really our goal is to, you know, have the lights on every night. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good plus with the Northern Arizona Suns coming in. I got a chance to come in and photograph a bunch of their games, and, knowing some of the folks in the front office, it was great. Like I said, after being dark for a little bit, for a good chunk of the years, of the months out of the year after hockey left, to see the fans, and a lot of those fans were familiar faces, the folks that were sitting in the seats here, the school groups that were coming in, to be able to see some of the fans that we haven't seen in a while, to really have something to get fired up about. Granted, things like home shows, gun
mm-hmm.
shows,
yep.
some community events, and of course some of the high school sports that were coming through here were great to sustain the staff, to keep the lights on. But those cornerstone organizations, the teams that will play here multiple times per week during the year, is really great to see. You know, you mentioned the hockey. What do we is there any insight you can give us to where we stand now and seeing some ice in here permanently?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we're looking at different avenues, you know, quite frankly. But, you know, part of it is, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, with our partners, the Suns, you want to make sure that the market can sustain two minor league teams. You know, that's key because obviously we want our partners to be successful, both on the ice or on the court and financially. Because as we well know, that if they're not, then, you know, then they could go away, and we don't want that. So, you know, we have to look at it, you know, strategically and make sure. You know, the other thing is that, you know, in talking with different folks, you know, a lot of people don't realize having two anchor tenants, you know, you might not have the ice availability for practice if you have a hockey team. There's no other sheet of ice here in town. So not that we couldn't overcome that, but it's just something that has to be factored into.
Because then you get the logistics of having the – oh, and what do you guys call it? What's the term for the teams that the workers – that turn over, that laying down the floor throughout the night. What's
conversion
that?
Conversion crew. Yeah.
Crew. That becomes added expenses and things to think about when you got to be flipping it over for basketball one night, hockey the next, things like that.
Sure. Which, again, that's very easy, especially when, you know, we'll take that any day.
Yeah.
But really it becomes a logistics because I ran into this in Bakersfield where when I first got there, the hockey team, we didn't have another sheet of ice in town. So when we had concerts and family shows, you know, the team had to go someplace else. So there was just a lot of considerations in there. You know, like, again, we're real focused on making the Suns successful. They had a short run up to the season. So in talking with them in the few days that I've been here, they're looking forward to having, you know, the additional time to market season tickets and sponsors and so forth. We're looking at all avenues. And I think right now the easiest thing would probably be, you know, the concerts and family shows and motorsports. But certainly if there's an opportunity for hockey, you know, we're going to go after it.
One of the things that we've stressed on this show and in my conversations with your predecessor, Gary Spiker, with Catfish, who's been on the podcast several times, is to really encourage the community to support events when they're here. Like tonight, it's a really specialized event. We were talking to Catfish earlier. It's a real treat for folks to experience this French immersion. But some of the things that they're more familiar with when we have NAU hockey up here, when we have some of the traveling teams that have come through for special weekends, to really show the support, to let folks like the bookers, let folks know that there is an audience here. Because when there's so many empty nights, when there's so many dark nights, people look at that, and that's kind of what they're gauging the interest in. So when NAU, when ASU comes up here to play, who else did we have? I forget. We had a couple of teams out of California to come up and play those little tournaments.
Yep.
To really get butts in the seats, to get let the powers that be know there's an audience here. When you're looking at things like concerts, for instance, total seat capacity here for a concert when in a packed
it just
house?
Depends. It's about 5,000 with an end stage, depending on how many you put on the floor, probably like 55 or 6. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the key to getting these concerts. It's one thing to get the concerts. It's another thing to make them financially successful for the promoter. You know, whether it's this market or Phoenix or wherever, you know, you have to do that. If a promoter loses money in a market, they're not coming back. And so that's really the key is helping them with marketing. And I think our company and myself in general, because of my experience on the marketing and PR side, that's really going to be a focus to, you know, when we get a show, we need to demonstrate to these promoters that, you know, we can help them market. And yeah, I mean, we will ask the community to support us and buy tickets, and that'll then lead to future events.
Yeah, and then, of course, PrescottValleyEventCenter.com is where they can find out info on upcoming events and all that. One of the things that is interesting and nice about here is, like you said, there's, say, ballpark at 5,500 seats on a full venue, but you have the ability to do an abbreviated venue by doing the half house. Positioning of the stage, utilizing and packing out certain sections of the arena. What type of acts can we? Who are you going after? What are some of the performers that you would like to see here?
You know, I think
go out on a limb here and yeah, pull out your crystal ball.
Well, I mean, me personally, or what do I think would be
both
successful?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm more of a rock blues kind of guy. I think that the market could support that. Certainly, I feel the country genre would work well in this market. You know, I think that, you know, depending on what the cost is and when they're touring and so forth, you know, your older rock acts. I mean, you know, I saw the other night, I actually sent my wife and my son down to see Elton John down in Tucson, which they're about 7,000.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that we're going to get Elton John here, but it just shows you.
Was that at the convention
center? Yeah, at the convention. It's a 7,000-seat arena down there. But nice little venue. You know, again, I'm not saying we're going to get him here, but it just shows you that some of these artists will play smaller markets if it's successful. And again, the key there is that, you know, because it has a less of a gross potential in terms of revenue, it's just key that we sell every single ticket that we can.
Exactly.
So
now educate me with your experience on running an event center, working with bookers, working with management and the promoters. When an act comes in, when they're shopping around looking for a venue to perform in, granted, there's a lot of opportunities in Phoenix area, different size venues, everything from the smaller clubs to the large arenas. We're a few hours up, so it's a whole different demographic up here. When they come in, do they come in, and if they're booking the arena, what's the structure as far as sound crews? Do they bring their own? Do they always have their own opening acts and things like that?
It really just depends. In most cases, if you're talking about a national touring artist, they're rolling in with all of their own sound and their opening acts and so forth. And you're, in effect, you know, buying the package, if you will.
Yeah.
So, but...
So it's like a turnkey operation. They come in and do their whole setup.
It really just depends. I mean, there's really kind of three ways that this business operates. There's a straight rental where someone will come in, a promoter will rent the building. They'll take the risk, put on the show. We'll support them, obviously, from an operational standpoint. Then there's what we call a co-pro, where we'll basically, you know, partner with the promoter and to put on an event. And then there's events where, you know, we would in theory, take the risk. You know, the venue right now is really not in a position to do that. Very few municipally owned or, you know, in this case, this venue are in a position to do that. So more than likely, you're in a situation where, you know, you're renting the building to a promoter or you're co-promoting it. Now, I can tell you that we're going to have to chase events here.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, there's not a bunch of agents and promoters calling me up saying, hey, can you book me this weekend? So, you know, we have to be aggressive. We have to do our homework and, you know, call agents and promoters and so forth. And, you know, we have to make it appealing to them. So whether that's adding some marketing dollars of our own or, you know, getting them trades or hotel rooms, you know, a lot of little things that maybe offset their cost and maybe make them a little bit more money, we're going to have to be creative and do that if we're going to expect to get acts.
But again, it kind of boils down to make the arena attractive, to make the event center attractive to potential acts, to potential tenants, to different promoters and things. They're going to look at past events, past participation, past ticket sales. So it's really imperative if the community wants to see a successful event center, the community needs to come out and show the support as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. And, you know, we're going to do our best to, you know, I'm a big fan of keeping our prices low. I mean, obviously, if we get a national act that, you know, commands a higher price, but we're very sensitive to price.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do want people to come out and, you know, buy a ticket. Maybe it's a genre, you know, you might not be the hugest fan of, but, you know, come out, check it out. But that is key. And, you know, I always tell people that in the concert business these days, it's kind of good and bad because of the lack of record sales, you know, the whole digital age, a lot of these acts have to go out to support themselves.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still all about the money for them. So yeah.
It's a business. It's a show business.
Yeah, and if we, you know, again, if they come in here and don't make money or a promoter doesn't make money, it, you know, it doesn't look good for us and it hurts us down the road. So it's incumbent upon us to make it as appealing as we can to get them up here to Prescott Valley.
Yeah, and we hope we are hoping and looking very optimistic on the success of future events out here. Like I said, my son practically grew up in this arena. He's 7 years old, and his first hockey game, I think he was about 4 months old.
Good.
So it was a lot of family fun. He's enjoyed his couple of trips up to the Suns games here. But guys like Scott, I'm looking at Scott walking up the steps there, Catfish, who has been busting his butt to be out in the community to generate support, and then seeing you, Scott, come along and join the organization and take the lead here. We're really optimistic and looking forward to seeing some more events, the lights on here, more and more nights every week, every month as the time goes forward. And again, we're here as much as we can photographing and doing some podcasts here and just encourage the community. If you want to see some top-notch entertainment here, some great events, things like the PBR that's coming up.
Yep, PBR coming, and then the Turquoise as well. Those are events that we're certainly anticipating selling out. Met with both of those promoters this week and super excited to be working with them. And I do want to do give a shout out to all the staff that has been here. They've been great, very welcoming. They wear many different hats here. The venue obviously has gone through its ups and downs here, but these guys are very passionate about it. So again, I just wanted to give them a shout out for helping me out this week and moving forward.
And like I say, encourage the community, get out here, buy some tickets, get in the seats. We have, like I said, a great crew out here busting their butts to get the job done, and we have seen some great entertainment through here, both in the athletic and the music and other forms of entertainment. So get out here, community, buy some tickets. Check out PrescottValleyEventCenter.com for a listing of how to get those tickets and who's coming up. And just support what's going on out here. If you want to see it succeed and you want to see some bright lights and a lot of fun out here. Scott, thank you so much for taking the time.
Appreciate it.
Looks like the seats are filling up and they're getting ready for showtime as they're finishing up dinner. We were hoping, Les was mentioned, we were hoping somebody was going to bring us some more derbs up here, but it doesn't look like it.
I don't think they're making it up here, but you guys will like this. I thought it was more French theme, but there's some great music out there. There's a blues artist, rock. It's going to be, I think, more than a lot of people thought. It was pretty cool watching the sound check. So appreciate the opportunity.
A lot of fun. Thanks for taking time, Scott. We'll be talking with you soon. Well, that was it. And this outro will be much shorter than the intro. Go milehighshow.com. Use the Amazon link. Use the BarkBox link. I can't say it. Every time I try and say BarkBox, I butcher it. Bark box link, and you get free treats for your furry friends because happy pets make happy homes. Also, Audible, you get free download. There's free stuff. Just go to milehighshow.com, hit all the links, buy stuff so I could buy Matt lunch.